I'm Asa Marshall, and I'm here with a special episode of The Common Share. I'm at the Scaling Up, the Impact of Renewable Energy Co-ops in Canada conference in Ottawa, which is the first ever gathering of renewable energy co-op leaders in the country. They're here to talk about some of the challenges they face as individual cooperatives and how, by banding together, they can potentially grow their impact. This is a room full of leaders very dedicated to renewable energy from across the country, from different jurisdictions. They have to deal with differences in legislation depending on what province they're in, and so the barriers they face vary in some ways, and in other ways they're very similar. So it's been great to be in this room of like-minded people all working towards a similar goal of growing renewable energy in Canada.
At the conference, I've had the opportunity to talk to Johan Hamels, the treasurer of the Ottawa Renewable Energy Co-op and a trainer and consultant on renewable energy transition. We talked about what renewable energy co-ops are, the different ways they can be structured, and the importance of communities having the ability to benefit from their own energy creation. I hope you enjoy our conversation.
So my name is Johan Hamels. I am originally from Belgium, where in 1991 I was one of the five founders of EcoPower, which is now, after those last 30 years, become the second biggest cooperative and renewable energy cooperative in Europe, with 65,000 members. The Spanish beat us. There is a Spanish organization, co-op, that is bigger than us, but okay, doesn't matter. Spain is a bigger country than Belgium in any way. I immigrated into Canada in 2009, and in 2012 I joined OREC, Ottawa Renewable Energy Co-op, which is a small co-op compared with that size in Europe, but no matter, it's what we have in Ottawa, and OREC is really great. We have close to 1,000 members, and we have like several projects. I had the privilege to be their treasurer for 5 years, from 2012 to 2017.
I start with a really basic kind of question for people who don't know. What's a renewable energy co-op?
A renewable energy co-op is a group of citizens who get together and want to be part of this shift in energy use and the energy production that has to happen in our societies. We have to shift away from fossil fuels to renewable energy, and citizens do get together to do that in an organized fashion, because only doing it alone, yes, you can have solar panels on your own house, but if you want to have an impact in your community, you want to build something on a school, you want to build something on a big farm, or together with an enterprise that exists in your neighborhood or in your city, you better do that as a group of people together. And the co-op model, and the cooperative model, provides a nice group of experiences that from the last 200 years, since the 19th century, has happened in lots of fields. And renewable energy is really a new field where a lot of citizens start to use that model to organize themselves, because it gives an advantage also when we invest our time and our money into it. The co-op model provides also that we can receive the benefits from that, also the economical benefits from it. Because that's what co-ops do. We do things, something together for a social purpose or a purpose that we have for our community. In this case, this shift from fossil fuels to renewable energy, but also the possibility to award ourselves as a community, as citizens, with the economical advantages of that.
So yesterday you were making a comment during the panel that I thought was really well explained, because there's a lot of ways to do renewable energy co-ops, but you defined how they fit into two buckets. Can you just explain what those two kind of main ways of doing RECs is?
Yeah. So the two experiences that I have also in my personal life. So in Belgium in 91, when we created the co-op, we were like the co-ops here. We were investment co-ops, so we wanted to put some of our savings that we have into economical initiatives, renewable energy projects, to produce renewable energy and to get a benefit from them, eventually a dividend or an interest on our savings that we put in there. That's what we do also here in Canada. Most of our co-ops do that. They gather money from their members most of them savings that they have, and instead of putting it in a normal RRSP, we can put it in an RRSP through our co-op, and it's invested directly also. It gives us the benefits of an RSP, but it's also providing us the benefit of it's an investment in a renewable energy, a solar project on the school in our city, for example. Later in Belgium, because the electricity market changed and we got the opportunity to sell our own produced electricity as a co-op to our members, which normally co-ops do, they sell the production of their economical activity to their members. We could start doing that, and that has really we are like a consumer co-op where lots of members come to EcoPower in Belgium because they want to buy electricity, and they want to buy green electricity, and they want to buy green electricity that is produced in Belgium and is not produced in Norway, for example, and just transported or calculated in it. And then there is a direct link. As a customer, that you also become a producer. And so it's now a new word in English, like prosumer. Yeah? So you're not only a consumer, but you become a prosumer. Yeah? So that's a new word that has come up due to that type of consumer co-ops in the renewable energy area. In Canada, unfortunately, except in Alberta, where the electricity market is totally liberalized and everybody can take initiatives, everybody can do anything what they want, I don't think it's done already by the co-ops, yeah. But there, that could be done. In the other provinces, the electricity market is a regulation of a monopolist, sort of, or it's like a private monopolist, or it's a government monopolist, and so on. And so you can, as a customer, you cannot decide to say that you want to buy your electricity with this producer or another producer. Yeah? And so your own co-op who produces electricity, you cannot buy the electricity from your co-op. It's something I think it will in the course of the years, because if you really want to build sufficient support among the population for this shift to renewable energy and renewable energy production, then you need the people to be part of that. And co-ops are a very good way for them to be part of that, to have in a community. A small municipality, for example, in the late 90s in Belgium, it's a small municipality, 50,000 inhabitants, they wanted to allow 3 wind turbines in their municipality in the late 90s. And we were able to tell the municipality, add a criteria to your normal criteria on which you would decide which provider is able to put those wind turbines there. And the criteria was like, how can citizens from your municipality participate in that investment, yeah, in that capacity that is there? And with our co-op EcoPower, we applied like others. But for us, it was very clear. Every citizen in that municipality could become a member of the co-op, and with their small investment of 250 euros, they would be co-owner of the turbines. And that gives the kickoff from our... So municipalities can play a role in the criteria they use, allowing co-ops to compete with others. Yeah, but it gives an opportunity for citizens of municipalities to be part of this. Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit why you think that's so important, Johan, that it's important that communities and citizens have ownership of these kind of utilities, I guess, as opposed to large corporations or large entities? Mm.
You know, at the moment, in most of the municipalities in Canada, we consume electricity, all of us, we pay for it, and that money, where does that go? It does not stay in our communities. It does not stay to our own members, to the people in our street. We pay it and it goes to somewhere, a big producer of a plant, a gas plant or a nuclear plant or a big hydro dam and so on, and it's gone. Yeah, it's not in our communities. Cooperatives allow that money stays also in the community and goes back to the people who are consumer and producer at the same time. So that's why it is really important to have co-ops in renewable energy part of. And even if at this moment, if it's only investment cooperatives that we can have, because we cannot sell the electricity to ourselves, to our members, the fact that the ownership of the projects, the renewable energy projects, are owned by these members, the revenue that comes there, the profit that is made by it, can return back to the members, and it's, we can still use it also. I mean, it stays in the community. It doesn't go away to a big producer at 400 kilometers away from us. Yeah. Another advantage is also, and that's a more, that's an aspect of this large transition from fossil fuel production to renewable energy. Renewable energy, you cannot produce it in one or three places for a whole province. You will need 10,000 places to produce that. But there is an advantage, because transporting electricity from 100 kilometers away, you lose between 7 and 12% by transport. You lose 15% in hot weather, when we in Canada use a lot of electricity to cooling our places. Yeah? So that's already immediately 10 to 15% that we save. If we don't do it in 3-4 big places, but we do it in 10,000 places, yeah, everywhere, and the transport is shorter, so we have less losses from that. That's as a collective of our energy system. Yeah.
What do you think are the biggest barriers between creating the sort of ideal system for renewable energy co-ops that you'd like to see, and how it is, I guess, right now? I know it's different in different jurisdictions, but what are the biggest barriers for RECs to sort of thrive and scale? Mm-hmm.
There are different barriers in any case. So the fact that we have to mobilize and getting people to become members of co-ops, getting our message out, that's hard work. It's talking 100,000 times with so many people, try to convince them to take some of their savings and putting it into a co-op. Yeah? But the real barrier, yeah, are the constraints on what we can do in this electricity market, because most of the provinces, you have monopolist systems, or by government, electricity producers, transport and distribution conglomerates, yeah? And they don't allow smaller players in local communities to be part of this. Yeah? And I think that municipalities could play big players in this. Like, as I said, with criteria in what they want to allow into their communities, but also in taking initiatives. I mean, I dream from this. I was not born here in Canada. Yeah? So I was not born with skates on my feet. I was born with a bicycle between my legs. As a Belgian, we all cycle. But I would like to see that municipalities start to put big solar projects on their hockey rings and ask the fans to be part of the local cooperative who invests and built these solar panels there. Then you have a direct connection that the energy that the sun will bring to create the ice on which they can skate and like and have a fun life, yeah, and enjoy their teams. That's the type of thing. So the biggest aspect that is different is that issue of being able to sell to your own members, yeah? What they call here in a difficult term, virtual net metering, yeah? Which means that you have one place where you produce, but you have maybe 100 or 1,000 places where you consume. Yeah? At this moment, the only thing that happens in most of the provinces is net metering, which means you produce on one place and most of your electricity you have to use before your meter, so on your own territory. When it's a company, like in Saskatchewan, I know one of the cooperatives has that with a big industrial company, and so they produce with their solar panel project about 8% of the electricity of that consumption that happens on that place. Yeah, and so that's net metering. If they would at a certain moment produce more than what's used there, it goes into the grid and they pay you a fee, but most of the time the monopolists have created that fee so low that you cannot really return your investment costs. Yeah? So the net metering is good when you produce less than what you consume at a certain place. Yeah, then that gives opportunities now. But it would be wind turbines, often produce way more than what is consumed at that specific place. Yeah? And crossing a street is crossing public land, and that you're not allowed to do. Yeah? So that's then virtual net metering that you need, that what this wind turbine produces in one place, in Barrie, for example, a little bit in the south in Ontario there, and our members in Ottawa who have invested in that wind turbine could buy electricity, and it would be calculated, sort of an accounting style of thing, that what we use is calculated with what's produced there and put into the grid. And then a fee is paid for transport for that. That's another issue that's always possible. So that's the virtual net metering, that opportunity to sell the electricity of our production to our members, your 2,000 households, instead of just selling it only to the grid. That would help also our members to be producers of electricity as investors in the cooperative, and also consumers of renewable energy through the cooperative.
And so the conversations that are happening this weekend about forming some kind of collective of renewable energy co-ops, what do you think the biggest advantage would be of renewable energy co-ops working together as one larger entity? Mm-hmm.
Getting our message out. Being a tool with which other structures in our society, governments, big institutions, universities, people who want to support us, having like a name that we're not representing just one co-op of 600 members in Saskatchewan, or our co-op in Ottawa with 1,000 members, but that we're like an association representing 50,000 members from coast to coast to coast, who together produce 2 megawatts of electricity. That is way more than what one solar panel project produces in one of the provinces. And then it becomes clear that there are a lot of people who are part of this transition and want to be part and want to put their savings, some part of their savings, into that transition towards renewable energy electricity production.
Is there anything else you'd like to add, Johan? That's all the questions I was going to ask.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. My message to everyone is look up, search in your province, where are the co-ops? Join them. Even if the co-ops don't have today a project for which they ask to invest, become a member of them. Then you get their newsletters. Then you know about what they do. Then you can participate. Then you can make suggestions. You can offer them also. You personally could have links with companies or places where a project could be built, which they don't know about. So it's because being of a cooperative, we're a network. And we use the networks from all of our members. So join renewable energy co-ops in the place, in the provinces where you live.
Thank you for joining us. To give us your thoughts on anything we discussed in this episode, you can find us on Facebook or on Twitter as @co-ops_first.